meetings, just in case someone misses it and wants to hear it. It's always on our website in the NJHSA Resource Library. And for those of you who are new, I'm going to put the information in the chat so you know how to access it, because you can also get webinars and anything else that we've done through that and other resources. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Smith, and I'm the Chief Program Officer here at NJHSA. And I get the honor of working with all of the professionals in the network, and it's great. And Howard Olshansky over there in Jewish Family Services in Charlotte is your chair of this group. So he is going to be leading discussions and helping us come up with new topics. I see there are new people, so I think we should probably have them introduce themselves. But if everyone can rename themselves and put in your community by your name, that would be great. Because I don't know who YAJF-3YAJF is.
So why don't we, how about if I read the, I'll go through the boxes and then you can introduce yourself so we all know who are on the call together. Good afternoon. It's great to see everybody. I'm, as Lisa said, I'm Howard Olshansky. I'm the executive, JFS in Charlotte. So I'm just going to go through my boxes and if you just introduce yourself and identify your community. Amy?
Hi, I'm Amy Rashba, Jewish Family Service in Greater New Haven, Connecticut.
How long have you been there, Amy?
Well, I've been at JFS for about 34 years, and I've been the CEO for since February 2018, a little bit acting executive director, then officially CEO.
Terrific.
Beth Ann?
Hi, I'm Beth Ann Gamunder, and I am with Tampa Jewish Family Services.
How long have you been there?
Well, I've been in this role for about a year and a half. I was interim for a half a year, and then I'm just coming on a year and a half in this role. And I was previously on the advisory board and on the board.
Ooh. Sarah, how are you?
Sure. Hi, I'm Sarah Tick. I've been with JFS of Charleston for, this is my ninth year. We recently separated and became our own separate organization. So I took over as executive director starting in January of this year.
Tara?
Tara Feiner, and I am the director of Jewish Family Services of Greater Dayton.
How long have you been there? Let's hear how long everyone's
six
been
years.
There. 6 years.
Okay. Just now six.
Ken?
Yes, I'm Ken Balecki, executive director of Jewish Family Services in Youngstown, Ohio, and I've been here for 4 years.
Steve.
Hi, Steve Schatter. I'm the executive director of the JFS of Greater Harrisburg, and I'm here 10 months.
Okay.
Jane?
Hi, Jane Ginsburg. I'm the president and CEO of JFS of Northeastern New York, so based in Albany, but for the whole Northeastern New York, Greater Capital Region of New York State. And I, it will be 2 years in August.
Cindy?
Hi, I'm Cindy Smith. I'm the new executive director at Jewish Family Services of Western North Carolina. I'm 2 months and a minute.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Lamar?
I am Lamar Schwartz. I'm the director of JFS in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been here for almost nine years as well. And it's great to see so many new
Really faces. Hard to hear, Lamar. Really hard to hear you.
But you've been the executive director for 3 years, right?
You hear me better now?
Yeah. But you've been the executive director for how long? 3 years?
Well, I'm at JFS, I've been for 9 years, but this is my, yes, this will be my third year.
Lori?
You're not muted.
She's not muted, but I don't think she is. Lori?
Oh, yeah, here I am. Sorry. Hi, guys. Lori Moss. I'm the director at the JFS in Indianapolis, and we're part of our federation.
How long have you been there, Lori?
You really want me to go there?
A long time.
37 years, yeah.
Wow.
He's got the experience.
Avraham.
Avraham Adler, 2 months minus a few minutes, JFSA in Cleveland, strengthening families. I was and am for 9 years director of the Cleveland Gusset Center and Gesher and Employment and Benefit Center.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Rachel?
Hi, I'm Rachel Kornfeld. I'm the CEO of Jewish Family Services of Greenwich, and I have been here just over 2 years.
Debbie?
I'm Debbie Zoller, and I'm director of JFS of the Lehigh Valley, and I've been here also almost 9 years.
And Catherine?
I have to apologize. It's Monday morning here in Southern California, and my camera is not working. So I am here. I am the executive director of JFCS of Long Beach and West Orange County in Southern California, and I have been in my role for 8 years.
Terrific. Well, thank you. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see some new faces. As you may recall from the communication that Lisa sent out, we had identified as our topic, talking a little bit about what it's like serving as a JFS Jewish organization in a small Jewish community. Some of the challenges serving a population, visibility for your organization, kind of all of the little bit of nuances that may or may not go along with, trying to meet the needs, but also, sustainability, all those kinds of things, I think that sometimes are challenging being the Jewish organization in a community that doesn't have a high Jewish population. So that was a little bit of the framework for the conversation. We also wanted to make sure that we left open if there were anybody that had anything else that they wanted to bring up, or if there was a sense of needing to still talk a little bit about reopening from pandemic, et cetera. But it's a topic that has come up before in different ways through our conversations. And so we just wanted to kind of, throw it out there and see what kind of thoughts anybody had or not. I kind of lead a little bit the conversation just to kind of jumpstart. So Charlotte one of the challenges in Charlotte is we've not done a population study in many, many years. So we don't really know very specifically what the Jewish population is in the greater Charlotte community, but this is a very growing community. Charlotte has been growing. It's one of the largest growing cities in the country, actually. And we know that there have been, part of that population has been the Jewish community as well. But we're historically somewhere, we think we're somewhere around probably 15 or maybe 20,000 Jews in the community. Again, without having done a study, not for sure. And we have a very thriving, supportive Jewish community. We're a little unique in that we have a very thriving campus where, we have, 16 different Jewish organizations sitting on one campus. But we also are growing in terms of the geography. So lots of people are moving out of the immediate vicinity where our campus exists. For JFS, one of our challenges has been being Jewish family services in a community where we may be interested in responding not to just the needs of the Jewish community, but the non-Jewish community as well, and particularly some areas. I can tell you, first at bat is, why is Jewish family services the first question I always get? Do you serve non-Jewish population? We recently have gotten a couple of grants that are, United Way and the county to serve the larger community. But the immediate response that we often get is, oh, you serve the Jewish community, and outreaching and connecting and getting, changing that kind of perception has been a lot of a challenge for us. And then, I can go on, you know, philanthropy, you know, has come pretty solely from the Jewish community, unless we've gone, again, gone outreach for grants, those kinds of things like that, and trying to increase that support when you're serving a non-Jewish population. So all those kind of pieces, you know, are, you know, have been a little bit challenging. So that kind of just, you know, some of the issues that we deal with. Curious as to what other people are, you know, dealing with and, you know, challenges and how you've managed to, you know, overcome some of those challenges. So just lastly, what I would say is one of the things that I did, I'm here 5 years. One of the things that I did when I got here was to really dig into looking at the larger community, particularly in the social service community, and really outreaching to, you know, leadership in the community, United Way, you know, the county, you know, other nonprofits, just to begin to create some awareness and visibility about who we are, what we do, and how we can partner and collaborate and meet the needs. And we've had some successes, particularly around, you know, connecting with other programs to serve the community, but also around awareness and education and visibility, those kinds of things. So, you know, that has really significantly elevated the visibility of our organization within the social service community. What I would say is we're still really challenged is, you know, in the larger general population. And, you know, I would say, you know, people just don't know who we are. So just to kind of jumpstart conversation, other thoughts.
Well, I'm happy to piggyback off of that as the newbie here. This is something that came with me from Orange County, what you're talking about, Howard, and, you know, serving some, you know, other communities aside from the Jewish community. So I spent 9 years as Jewish Federation and Family Services of Orange County's Director of Community Engagement. And so we also have a similar situation with our donors wondering, you know, what's Jewish about Jewish Family Services, and what kind of, you know, program are you providing that is Jewish programming, and, you know, the membership of your programs, how, what is the percentage of Jewish versus not Jewish? But what's an additional limiting factor here in Asheville and in Western North Carolina is that, you know, our needs are much greater than the Jewish community. So I would say our needs to serve rural Buncombe County and rural, you know, Western Carolina are much higher than our own Jewish community needs. And so it's a matter of sort of messaging out that we are an organization guided by Jewish values and Jewish principles. Tikkun Olam is pretty widespread through the Jewish community. And so we are the Jewish community helping to serve the larger community. And I kind of brought that message with me, and it's kind of gotten a lot of like this kind of stuff, even though it's, they understand our Jewish values. But I think it's that wanting to hang on to providing for our Jewish community. And we are a donor to the Jewish community. We want to serve our Jewish community. We can't separate our funds to say this percentage of our funds is only going to serve our Jewish population. So if you want to donate to that restricted fund of serving Jews, like, I'm just not going to go there. So we definitely struggle with that same thing here. So really, I'm trying to craft messaging, you know, and I'm looking at Catholic Charities and I'm looking at other religious nonprofits and how they do it, because Catholic Charities has Habitat, and Habitat is like, there is nothing Catholic about Habitat to me. They serve the entire community. So I have some role models.
Yeah, I think that what you're talking about, many of the agencies struggle with, and that's why this is such an important call. Sorry.
So I was just going to say, as an older organization, so I'm at CJFS in Birmingham. I've been there for 10 years, but the organization is over 30 years old. And when we started serving the greater community, which was probably late 90s, early aughts, our messaging really became just that of Tikkun Olam. And as over time, we've shifted, we're probably at about 50-50 right now. I often tell our Jewish donors, when we create new programs and services, They are based out of needs that we identify in the Jewish community, and then we broaden that to the general community. So for example, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we started a program for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. And that really grew out of people in the Jewish community coming to us and saying, we need respite care. Can you do something around respite care? And now that program is probably, well, we just reopened. We're only serving, we've limited to 6 people a day. You know, we're probably, but before we closed, but pre-COVID, we were probably about 70-30 in the program, 70% not Jewish, 30% Jewish. Wow. But when we began the program, it was about 70% Jewish, 30% not Jewish. So you can see how it shifts over time. And that's really common because one of the things that we see, as you said, Cindy, is that the needs in the Jewish community, particularly around low income financial issues, are pretty low. We're a community of 5,000 Jews. And we've been very fortunate to be successful. So we really employ that messaging around Tikkun Olam. And we still do only financial assistance for the Jewish community. We do have funds at our Jewish foundation that were started in the 80s when we weren't even an independent agency, that are designated for members of the Jewish community for financial assistance. And we still use those funds to serve the Jewish community. And we only do financial, direct financial assistance to non-Jewish families when we have grants to do so. So we got some COVID relief grants for that. And we used to get some crisis fund money from United Way for that purpose. But we've really, we judge whether or not we continue to provide services based on the impact. And so doing crisis fund work the way that it was set up when I came to the agency, it was not having an impact on the people that we were serving other than pushing their utility shut off down the road a month or maybe 2 months. So we really stopped providing that service. We didn't have the capacity to implement it in a way that was really going to make an impact. And other organizations were doing it more successfully with the same funding, and we just assumed give them more funding. So that's sort of how we've handled it. And we've really messaged with the Jewish community that the needs we serve grow out of the Jewish community, but we serve everyone because we are Jewish.
Can I add, I appreciate that Cindy mentioned about Catholic Charities. As I came from Lutheran Social Services of New York, which is one of the biggest social service agencies in New York, I don't think I ever met a Lutheran client in the 13 years that I was there, and nobody ever asked me, ever. So, you know, it's interesting to think about why other religious-based organizations are able to do it, and the Jewish family services across the country, like we all seem to be struggling. And I have to give a shout out to Amy over in New Haven, because she has given me much sanity surrounding this and how to connect with, you know, your local federation and try to, you know, continue that relationship without being offended, I guess, is the only way that I can put it. Because, you know, we're trying to serve the community and they're trying to support, you know, the Jewish community. And really that's it. I have to say there was an offering at the conference, and it was a big one, and it was incredible, and led by, I'm not going to be able to remember her name, but the CEO of, I think, is it Bradenton, Florida? One of the big ones in Florida. But it was about diversifying your board and how to, you know, keep that relationship with your federation. Was, I don't know if anybody else was on that presentation. It was
Sandra, Sandra Bram and Michael Hopkins from JFS San Diego, right.
Right, and we, there were breakout rooms, mm-hmm. and it was I thought it was a very interesting conversation. But this is one area where I think I see that JFS of Greenwich is missing it, in that at Lutheran Social Services, which nobody over here in Greenwich wants to hear about because that's the city and it's diverse and it's a different religion, but 50% of the board was not Lutheran. It had to be something else, whatever it was. And 50% did have to identify as Lutheran. And there was a bit of a discussion about if that's good or not good. But it's a hard sell to be more diverse and be okay with serving a more diverse population if your bylaws say that everybody has to be Jewish on your board, right? It would, and it's interesting because what if we said everybody has to be Catholic, right? Or everybody has to be a woman. So it's interesting that we allow these stipulations in that way, which are very exclusive rather than inclusive. But it was an interesting kind of like balance of some people had a great explanation of why your board needs to be Jewish. And then I was so impressed with the agencies. Most of them were larger and in more diverse areas who were like, no, we'll take less money from the Federation because we want to be diverse and we want to be representative of everyone. So I don't know if I'm shifting this in the wrong direction, but I just thought the whole thing kind of rounds it out for me.
Well, I wonder how many on this call have that in their bylaws that all of their board members need to be Jewish.
No, but on the other hand, how do you get the board members? And that's the thing that people are still trying to take within the community. Sorry, so it may not even be in your bylaws, but you're still the same members you're getting.
I'm just curious to know too. We are just having this conversation here in Albany. About right now, all of our board members are Jewish, and we're just, you know, we are really delayed on our solicitation of new board members, but they, but everyone is Jewish on the list, and we just had this conversation. So I'm just curious to know, just taking an informal poll, do others have non-Jewish members on their board at this time?
I do. So do I.
I do also.
Interesting. But, how many? Raise your hands. Let's see exactly.
But for us, they have to be part of a Jewish household. So my chair is not Jewish, and she's actually my chair, but her husband is, and they're raising the kids. So, and my hand's up because we're part of an integrated federation, which adds a whole nother layer to this conversation that we're trying to have. But because our federation allows for people to be on their board who are part of a Jewish household, that opens it up a little bit for me, and my chair and then my past chair have not been Jewish, but part of Jewish households.
Okay. Do others have people who are not part of Jewish households, but just non-Jewish members?
Yes, we have since 2010. We started integrating our board in 2010. And we have currently, I believe, 5 of 22. So it's about 25%. And we have two new African-American board members. One came on 2 years ago and one came on 1 year ago. So we're looking at diversity, not just religious diversity, but racial diversity, other areas that we can diversify and be inclusive, better reflective of our service population.
We've been doing a similar thing. So I'm actually the first non-Jewish executive director, and we have been serving the entire community for about 60 years. So we started serving Jewish and non-Jewish families, but have primarily had a totally Jewish board and Jewish donors. So about 6 or 7 years ago, we started to recruit non-Jewish board members. So we're at about 25 or 30% right now non-Jewish, and really also focusing on the racial diversity, as Lauren was just saying. We want our board to be more reflective of who we're serving. And we've also really started to try and bring in non-Jewish donors as well, since we do serve the entire community. And so that has been a big focus for our board in the last few years.
Is anybody or any of the agency, any of you strictly only serving the Jewish community, or is everybody serving a more diverse population?
Everyone's serving a more diverse population, it seems like, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Catherine, it's interesting that you said you were non-Jewish. You mm-hmm. might be the only non-Jewish ED on this call. Is that true? Is anyone here not Jewish besides she? So how's that been for you?
It has been, I've really enjoyed it. Our board did a good job of talking with our major donors ahead of time and asking, you know, they brought me forward as a candidate saying, we feel like she has the skills and the experience, but she's not Jewish. And I came in and really focused on, you know, establishing relationships in the Jewish community. I had a board president at the time. We had lunch every Friday, and he did a lot of education for me around the community and Judaism. And so that really helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And now I think people forget that I am not Jewish.
Yeah.
But it's for me, it's been a really great experience, a wonderful learning experience. And people were very, very open.
Thanks for telling us.
So Ken, you also are right?
Yes. Yes. I'm also non-Jewish. Similar to what Catherine said, I was brought in, you know, based on my work experience previously to coming here. But I met with the board members numerous times when I first came on. I got a lot of education from my predecessor, who was the director of JFS in Youngstown for 40 plus years, Alvin Weisberg. We had weekly lunches and got to learn a lot about the Jewish community locally and just the faith in general. So it was a lot of learning for me, but I was very eager to do that. And then to meet the board members and the Jewish community here through our federation, our JCC programs and our JFS programs was very beneficial to me as well.
Are you like Catherine? People forget that you're not Jewish?
Yes, actually, yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great learning experience for myself. And it's been a wonderful lifelong experience being here.
And is your board diverse? Have non-Jews and other?
Our board currently is not. It is all Jewish lay people right now, but we are opening that up. Our federation finally does realize, and I do see the benefit of bringing people in, especially for JFS in the social service sector, bringing people in similar positions as myself from the outside to learn about their programming and things that we can do and offer to the community. I think it's going to be beneficial. So we just opened that up this year. So we're hoping to recruit some new people on our board.
So I'm really interested, you know, Ken, Lauren, you mentioned those of you that have, you know, non-Jewish members on your boards. Well, how did you make that shift? So, you know, we don't have anything in our bylaws that require it, but it is clearly an expectation. When, you know, I've got, you know, our diversity on my and our board when we're doing board development is representation from the different temples, conservative reforms, you know, what kind of diversity representation do we have? So we got a ways to go. And I'm curious how you made that shift? What kind of conversations did your boards have around, you know, looking at that whole issue?
Well, for us, and it was really before my time, so I didn't get there till 2011, and they made that decision in 2010. But the conversations were really around, I think they were partially pushed by United Way, mm-hmm. But also pushed by increasing funding from outside the Jewish community. So there is a church here that had received a very large legacy gift around older adult services. And they started funding us, and they were funding us at a very high amount, even relative to our federation allocation. And the recognition that we were serving about half of our client population was not Jewish, and yet there was no leadership representing that voice. And I think that's how they came to the decision. It's been a long sort of rough road. They made that decision right before I came in. So when I came in, they had brought on one person actually from that church to be a part of our board. And I think it was lonely for that one person, and it was not well done. And while they fully understood who we were and how we operated, I don't think it was the most successful board membership. Now, our practice, though it is not policy, it's not written anywhere in the bylaws, is that we have at least three members who are not Jewish, and that they serve together so that there is sort of more than one voice. And we recently developed what we're calling a board experience survey to really help people acknowledge and give value to that voice. So to help people really say why having those diverse voices is important to leadership and the board functioning. So that survey actually is supposed to go out this week. So I'll give you an update on what the responses are to see if we've been more successful in recent years.
That would be good to know the results of that.
When we recruit, we really do talk about both Jewish values, but also we talk to board members who are not Jewish about, please talk to us. If we're doing or saying something, or you're in a meeting and you're not getting because we're making assumptions, mm-hmm. you please, you know, we want to hear that feedback so that we can improve and be more inclusive.
We had similar conversations around the fact that we didn't have representation on our board of a good portion of our client base. I was lucky in that our board was pretty open to recruiting and wanting to go in the direction of diversity. Couple board members in particular were very on board when I came in, so that was helpful. And I think that the piece of we started with two non-Jewish board members, so we didn't have just one person on. And then I think me not being Jewish, I was able to bring in some of my experience and bring that into the orientation process, which was helpful as well. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to about some of you who have been much more successful, certainly than I think we have here, at expanding your services to the larger community, not just the Jewish community. Did you find challenges in doing that? How did you, you know, create those relationships? How did you create that visibility? You know, how did you really sell yourself to the larger community in terms of service provision?
Mm-hmm. That's the key question. Go on, Rachel. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I don't, we haven't been successful with the board or maybe some of the new programming, but, you know, because I didn't know any better when I got here, I didn't realize that we were just really serving the Jewish, the Jewish community as the main focus. And so I sort of just everywhere I went, talked about what we wanted to do and who we wanted to serve. So the first time I met with the Greenwich United Way or the first time I met with the public school system, I just message it as we want to serve anybody who's in need. The other thing too, though, is, you know, our biggest program right now is clinical services. So we provide insurance-based mental health services. And I think that's been sort of a nice icebreaker in the sense that you can't argue with income. And so the board is very happy with the income and we have to serve everybody, right? So, you know, I think it's those types of income generating programs or when you do get that large outside grant, we got $140,000 from the town, which was huge. And that has to serve a certain population in the community. So it sort of like paved the way for everybody to open their mindset a little bit and think a little bit broader. And also because it brings in money, it makes, you know, the board is happy with that. And I think a little bit more understanding that to be able to provide that Jewish programming, we have to serve everybody because that's where the funding is going to come from.
So if I can add another challenge, though, because we actually didn't have an issue yet with the board about that. But my issue is different, is to try to convince the funders that we can serve people who are not Jewish. You know, and we've tried, and maybe it's COVID time and there's way bigger organizations that can do it. And maybe that's why we're not getting it, but I am not having success. We get some great funding from Jewish organizations, but the rest of them are like, there's other places that can do it, or that I can't really prove that I'm serving as many as they would like. They're not Jewish.
Do they ask you if they're Jewish?
They, well, a few of different things. It's also, it's also not just about the Jewish, but also about the other demographics that we have. Mm-hmm. But because we mainly serve Jewish people, then the main population that we serve is also Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So that also kind of brings us to a different level. So,
right.
So something that was done that was pretty brilliant in my mind before I came, and I think it occurred maybe 6 to 8 months ago, is our board agreed on a rebranding of our mental health services, and we branded them Healing Solutions Counseling at Jewish Family Services. Hmm. And
moving at, into, rather than Jewish Family Services, Healing Solutions. You just did at. That's really interesting reframing. Mm-hmm. Or rebranding. Yeah.
Right. And so it opens up a broader conversation with a lot of our funders. It still keeps the Jewish piece involved, but shares that this is a service at and of Jewish Family Services. And COVID was a silver lining in a way for that work, because with the pivot to telehealth, we really were able to get ourselves into more rural areas with telehealth and show people that Healing Solutions Counseling at Jewish Family Services is willing and able and capable and wanting to serve anyone who access is a barrier. And so with telehealth, if you have a way to get internet, then you have a way to get help. And that opened up a whole bunch of granting opportunities for us. Mm-hmm. For telehealth to expand our services. So we potentially, and this is going to start in July, we can help people where internet is a barrier to receiving services. We have grant money that we can help build out a computer terminal in a rural church for their community members, or a computer terminal with internet at a city building, or something that makes access easier for people and still keeps anonymity for counseling. So that has been truly a silver lining and really helpful.
How big was that grant?
It was one of the more prestigious grants here in Western North Carolina. It was a Women for Women grant, and we got $50,000 over 2 years.
Terrific.
Yeah. Is not of my own doing. Jessica, wrote the grant and we received it. So I get to execute it, but it's really going to provide a lot of services for both the Jewish community and, you know, lower barriers to access.
So one of the things that I've experienced is it's really taken myself and my key staff getting integrated into the larger community and connecting, similar to what Rachel said. You know, when I got here, I met with United Way, with the SS, you know, with the county, et cetera, et cetera. And it really began whatever little success we've gotten so far, which has been through grants, to expand our services outside, except for the mental health piece. So we also bill insurances, those kinds of things. So we serve anybody in those, under our mental health services. But it really was creating credibility through myself and my key staff with our community leadership. And they began to, create some respect and I think credibility through our participation in, community, committees, task forces, all those kinds of things. And that has really led both to relationships and I think, increased credibility through the leadership of our organization to really open up opportunities that brought grants and key things. I mean, that's how, and we got our United Way grant. They ended up coming and asking us because of our mental health services. It's taken me 5 years before I got that county grant. I applied every year, and we finally got a grant to serve our aging population. But, it's really been, I think, a lot of, just kind of, really navigating and, pounding the pavement of creating relationships and creating credibility through us, around the organization.
Is anyone limited by Federation funding, though, to only serve Jews for a certain purpose? Because we are.
Certain funds. So we have, like, so we have certain funds similar. Somebody else mentioned, I think, about, you know, Lauren, about financial assistance. We have a small food pantry, which we've kept restricted to the Jewish community. So certain funding to certain programs have been limited.
For why, us.
Jane? Sorry. I was just asking why Jane asked that. Is yours limited?
Yeah, I do. I have several programs that are limited, at least for the most part, to the Jewish community. And we have to kind of have some serious conversations about whether or not we want to push it. You know, the biggest one is the our transportation program, which is funded in part by Federation and helps really you know, we have a very heavily subsidized transportation program for older adults, but it's for Jewish older adults. And we've had a lot of requests from other partners in the area to expand it and for rides. And it's a great model where we have, you know, volunteer drivers and all of that. But right now we're limited. And so that's one of our challenges. We have, but like four or five programs that are limited.
So I walk that fine line where we're part of an integrated federation, a very integrated, all one building. I'm on the executive cabinet. And so I've reinforced that the J is about who we are and why we are and not who we serve. And so our case, we don't charge for any of our services. We're very, very small, one of three full-time staff, not the social worker. So we serve everybody. The vast majority of our case management is Jewish. We're probably about 70-30. But our transportation is close to 50-50 and sometimes 60 non-Jewish, 40% Jewish, depending on the time. And I had some very rough patches with the Federation's prior president, past president, because it's heavily subsidized. It's $5 for a one-way ride where the actual cost, we all know transportation is expensive, is $36 roughly dollars, because we don't use volunteers. It's our own leased cars and staff, part-time drivers. And why are we driving on Jewish people? And kept trying to get him to understand that if we don't have it for everybody, then we don't have it for the Jewish population either. It would not be able to exist for those who were when they're ready for it. And about the why, and talking quite a bit about how Catholic Social Services serves everybody. Grace Works Lutheran serves everybody. So many in our community, the Jewish community, are on Passport, which is our Medicaid program to keep people in their homes as long as possible. That's run through Catholic Social Services. You know, what does it say? If some serve us and we don't serve everybody in our part of the community. It was very difficult. I will say I had some very uncomfortable conversations with him. But in trying to get him to see, it's also a very small fraction of the budget that yes, we're essentially subsidizing their rides. But when you look at it in the larger budget, it's a smaller fraction. But we do have right now, our only funds that we have for financial assistance are for the Jewish community based on how they exist from an endowment at the foundation and the stipulations with that endowment. I wish I had money for otherwise to help people. But in terms of the Jewish population, the only things that we have that are solely for the Jewish population are our financial assistance. If someone needs help, we'll get them to the right place. Through case management, we just might not be able to help financially. And we don't help everybody Jewish financially either if they're not a good fit, you know, if they don't have anything sustainable. But that interest-free student loans we have, again, it's based on the endowment and how that's set up through the foundation. And then we do Jewish holiday outreach and our work with the Holocaust survivors. But I would love to be able to broaden that. But baby steps. I'm finally getting people pulled along for the other pieces and questioning it a little bit less and getting that, you know, very much like you, Howard. I've been very out in the community on our Coalition Against Abuse, Neglect, and Exploitation in the committee and on the Education Committee. I'm on public health committees, our Department of Public Health. I am on the Coalition for Overdose Addiction and Treatment. I am on just to get out there and everybody knows us now, knows they can refer people. Oh, we didn't know you served others. So just really getting out there and becoming an entity that's known and trusted. But it's a challenge. And I think that there's that added layer of being an integrated federation.
One of the arguments that I've used frequently within the within our Jewish community is we never turn down somebody from the Jewish community for services. So we're not, our serving a larger community does not ever prevent us from serving somebody who in need in the Jewish community. The other argument I use all the time is if you know the more you broaden, the more you open up opportunities for non-Jewish dollars. And if you get non-Jewish dollars, it can serve your Jewish community. So it doesn't mean that you have to only serve non-Jewish people with your non-Jewish dollars. It also comes into back into the Jewish community. So, you know, those kinds of arguments, I think sometimes help. For some folks, it never helps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we've got 3 minutes left based on our time schedule.
Well, I know we haven't heard from Debbie or Beth Ann. What is going on with you guys, or Avraham, for that matter? Do you have anything you want to add to this conversation?
I could just share what's going on here with our board, going back to the board diversity. It's something I had brought up when I was president of the board that I really wanted to start integrating that, because most of the people we serve are not Jewish, but almost all of our donors are Jewish. And the struggle I feel partly is getting extra dollars, figuring out how to get dollars from the non-Jewish community, which I've been struggling with. And if anyone has any input, I would love to hear it. But we have not been very successful in getting dollars from the non-Jewish community. So we get most of our funding from our Jewish donors, but yeah, we're serving mostly non-Jewish clients. Mm-hmm. So I brought it up again this year, being my first as in this role of going through electing new board members and nominating them. And I brought it up to our current person saying, I think we should start bringing people on the board who are not Jewish. But two people were rolling off, and they already had two people in mind to roll on, and they were Jewish. They said, well, not this year. So
that's positive, potentially. You can work on them all year long.
So as a new, we do have a new president starting in July, and I will be bringing this up to him as well. And hopes I could plant a seed early, because I really am feeling that if we don't bring some non-Jewish people onto our board, we're just going to have a, I don't know how else to reach that non-Jewish community to start building funding resources from them, which I think seems to be a missing link in our agency.
Mm-hmm. I think, and I will say, one of the things that we've done at JFS over the last couple of years is we linked with the mental health boards in our local counties, Trumbull County and Mahoning County. They have a lot of grant funding in our area, at least through the mental health boards, which are state or county agencies that we got some funding for the general community. So we have a senior outreach program that serves 60 and older. We do in-home assessments for free for those 60 and older for the Jewish and non-Jewish community. But it started off as Jewish community only. But in order to get that funding, we had to open our doors to everybody. Which was good too, though. We got close to 18,000 last year alone for the senior outreach program. We also get funding from Trumbull County Mental Health and Recovery Board for our guardianship program. So we get referrals from them for our guardianship program that we maintain here at JFS in Youngstown. So there's just a lot of, I think it's a lot of networking that goes involved with that. And just trying to think outside the box a little bit about what other agencies align with your purpose. And reaching out to them for funding opportunities. Because mm-hmm. They don't advertise that. They don't advertise they have the funding available. You have to go out and find those opportunities, unfortunately.
Thank you for sharing.
Our situation's a little bit different in that we've been very successful getting money from lots of grants and community outside the Jewish community. We've been very successful, but in terms of diversifying our board, that has been very difficult. There is real resistance and it's so much resistance that they've even decided maybe they should form another group of non-Jewish people who would advise our agency. So nice. That's
talk about a way around that's been suggested, which I have tried to be resistant to because that's another group to interact with. I don't see why you can't put them all together.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to do. And now you're creating two separate entities. That doesn't make any sense.
And we do serve plenty of non-Jewish. We have a lot of good partnerships with non-Jewish agencies. So I don't know what the resistance is.
One of the things that strategies might be, and I've done this before, is maybe there'd be more openness to inviting community members who are non-Jewish to like serve on committees. Yeah. And as you integrate and get people into committees, then people get to know them and they see some value and, you know, just a way to kind of cultivate relationships and kind of get your board members to also see value in what that brings to the organization.
I have different divisions in the JFSA of Cleveland, so I don't know all of them, but in the other with mental health and other services, they do serve non-Jews as well. In our division of strengthening families, so for instance, the campership program where we send kids to camp, so that's basically anyone who is Jewish or identifies as Jewish, and Forward Focus, which helps people with financial stability, is also mainly for Jews. But we have an entire domestic violence program, which is not only for Jews, that's also for non-Jews as well. And once they're brought in to the system, into the programs, so then there's crossover into the other divisions where we help them with either financial or mental health services as well.
Awesome. All right, any last comments?
Thoughts? Did we solve the problem, Howard?
No, we got some good ideas.
We got some good ideas. Relationship building.
The only thing I'll say as a last comment is that one of my commitments is to try to make our agency excellent in whatever we do. And I'm a person who always likes to say yes. And to be excellent, you can't always say yes. So I think if you develop a reputation as an agency, that you're an excellent agency and that you are responsive and that you care and that you're committed, people will come to you. They're gonna hear it. It's gonna be that word of mouth. They're gonna come to you.
That's a great point because credibility goes a long way.
Absolutely. If you build it, they will come. Isn't that
is exactly what happens. That's why our transportation has gone the way it has. We get a lot of people who call and say, my friend sent me to you. So,
well, this was a good meeting. Do you know when the next one is, Howard? Off the top of your head?
September 13th.
Well, thank you so much.
Only because I did my calendar this morning.
Okay, right. So that's sort of in the holidays, around the holidays. So I hope some of you will be able to make it because I know you're going to be busy because half of our agencies, you know, they're closed, you know, Tuesday, Wednesdays for 3 weeks. So that doesn't leave a lot of time. But I hope everyone has a great summer.
Everybody, if anybody has topic ideas, please send them to me.
Very important. We just sent out that survey, the topic interest survey for the Executives Networking Forum, which Lori Pop Moses over here is one of the co-chairs. So please fill it out because we're going to be doing a hybrid as well. We hope you can come, but we also want to have an opportunity for people to participate, even if you can't get there in person.
Yeah, I put that in the chat too. I think it'll be great. And I love that we're able to do it hybrid. So for all of us who are really, really small and might not be able to deal with the travel and the hotel and everything that's involved in going to Arizona, we're working really hard. We really want to make sure that it's accessible. We've seen that in the last, 15, 18 months that with the conference, there's so much that we're able to do, but we really need input from all the organizations as far as our topic and what we really want to be focused on. So please give that a quick look and get it back to us as soon as you can.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you all. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank you.
Well, good to meet you all.
Oh, yes, nice to meet all our new ones.